has a doctrine. Everyone has a tongue. Everyone has a revelation. Everyone has an interpretation. But let all things be done unto edifying. It's a blessing to hear your song. Blessing to hear your doctrine, your teaching, your Bible, but not with all together. I'm talking about tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer first, and I'm going to share something that's been in my heart for a long time, and God just kind of showed me some things the other day in my prayer time, and I just wanted to spend the rest of the day in prayer. Father, I thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the privilege it is to know you personally as our Savior. Now, there's not a day that goes by I don't think of that day. I trusted Christ as my Savior 40-some years ago. Lord, how wonderful life has been walking with you. Lord, thank you for all your blessings and the benefits you daily load us with. Thank you for a church family, and Lord, for your people. Lord, we love you tonight. We love each other. Lord, it is good to be in your house tonight. God, I pray that you would send revival in our day, in the midst of our years. Lord, we're dying in need of revival. Lord, I fear that we very seldom see the urgency that you see in the hour that we live. The day is the sun's about to set, but we need to hear from you. God, I pray that you would teach us to get on the right page and in tune with you. Talk to you tonight about a box, all right? Not a box like Rocky the Boxer. We live in a convenient little box of Christianity. In this little box, we think a Christian's a good Christian as long as they perform well, stay within the box. And we raise our children to stay within the box, but then when they release them, when they're released from the box, they usually go all kinds of different directions. We live in a day of prosperity gospel is so prevalent. We understand that that's wrong. That's not the Bible gospel, but we have jumped wholeheartedly to the pragmatic gospel. Whatever works, whatever draws a crowd, whatever seems to, as we used to say years ago, whatever trips our trigger, we kind of like that. And you know, the thing about a box, they don't offer you much security. And I like to go camping. When I go camping, I like to just be out in the open air. You know, it kind of cracks me up because some people say, aren't you scared? What kind of security does a tent offer you? What kind of animal would a tent stop from getting at you? If an animal, what kind of, what could a tent, but we feel so secure. And you're crazy to sleep out there. But they're fine sleeping. They're comfortable sleeping in our box. The thing about a box, the gates of hell, you knock it down, they seem to want to. We think that we're okay. The box of our type of church is independent, fundamental, hard-hearing, pre-dispensationalism, or whatever. All the names that we put, I don't even think about it. Think of all the names that folks like to tack on there. We perform. This is the way we do things in our church. We're comfortable. We come to church and we greet each other. We come sometimes on time. Sometimes we're rushed and sometimes we're late. And we have our three songs. We have our announcements. We pass the offering basket around. We're stepping outside of the box and. And then we have a message, and I don't know what the message is about. And then we have an invitation time, and then we have prayer, and we dismiss, and we have some fellowship. And that's what we do. The world around us is going to hell, but that's what we do. We come to church, we put in our time, we pay our tithes, we do everything that we're supposed to do. And and dress right and talk right and live right and don't drink and don't chew and don't go with those that do or whatever we do, and we feel comfortable with that. The thing is, if we were to leave our box, we would immediately find another box just like ours to be a part of. I think of the box of a pastor, what a pastor is supposed to be. A lot of folks aren't aware of this, what it takes. I was talking to Connor the other day, and I was about to teach the classes, and said, just have a rotating basis. Everybody comes to class on Monday night, you ought to teach them once in a while. It takes a little bit more preparation when you do that. I've heard it said all my life, and I didn't believe it until I started pastoring. In fact, until I was pastoring for a couple of months, and I ran out of all the messages that I had. Now I've got to come up with new things. I've heard it said by just about every preacher I've known that it takes an average of about 8 hours to prepare for every message that the preacher preaches. I would say that I'm not sure how to, if you don't clock in, don't clock out, I don't know how you would keep track of that. And I would say, realistic, now that's evangelistic to speak, that's preacher talk there. But I think realistically, it's I think we can get it done in about 5 hours. Preparing for each message, but then you think about that Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday evening, Wednesday or Sunday, Monday night. There's three classes there, and I'd say on average it takes about 5 hours to prepare, and that totals up to seven. That equals 35 hours a week, and that's just prepare. That's just what I've got to do, and sometimes I think, well, it's an encouraging thing when folks show up. Even more encouraging when they actually listen and you think that they got something out of it. But the truth is, I wonder if anybody can remember what I preached last week. I wonder if anybody can remember what I preached this morning. I wonder how far back. And the reality is, I think of a dear lady that used to come to church when we came, and she's long since passed away, but she was homebound for a few years before she went into nursing home. Every time we go see her, her statement was always, "No." She'd ask you something, and no matter what you said, "Wow, isn't that nice?" We thought that something's not right up there. When I took my daughter over there to visit her and gave her a little gift, and she took a little while to get this gift to my daughter, and while we were driving home, my daughter opens it up and said, out of a refrigerator. And then I thought, something's not exactly right here, she was trying to give me her car. She was driving the car. And she was going to the nursing home, so she tried to give me her house. By this time, we're in touch with the families, and something's not right here. And you would never know by talking to her, but she would always say, my dad died that last week. Well, isn't that nice? My wife got in a car accident. Well, isn't that nice? Everything was just, well, and that's kind of the way I feel like preaching sometimes. Well, isn't that nice? And then you add to that, and I'm just talking about the box that the preacher lives in, and then outside employment. I was just tired looking at that. So 15, 20 hours a week. And then personal visits and counseling, quote unquote. I don't like to use that term because of what people think when they hear the word counseling anymore. And community involvement, maintenance, and building, and ministry needs, and it takes a lot of time. And that's the box that I feel comfortable living in. The reality is, what I'm trying to say tonight, folks, are my life. This is my life. And what I fear more than anything is the disconnect that I see and feel quite often. Now, I'm not looking at you. I'm looking at myself. I can't tell you what God told me this week, because I know you'd get offended. But He was talking to me, and so I'm going to keep it to myself. But I look only at myself for creating such an environment. This is not a rebuke of you, but this is a challenge to me. I am not God, and I do not desire to be your Lord. But I want to be your biblical shepherd, which is where we get the word pastor. Or the Bible uses the other terms, elder or bishop. to be quite honest with you, as I look at my age and my life and my ministry and past and future, and I don't know, sometimes I pray, God, just take me home. I'm ready for home. But the reality is, I'm preparing for the last lap. I'm kicking it in for the last lap. Jesus said, prepare to meet thy God. And I'm running the last mile. I was watching a video of one of my nieces who runs long distance running in college, senior in college this year. My sister sent a video of her, and I noticed, wow, she gets to that last lap. I ran a mile race one time because they were short on a runner in the track meet that we went to, and I thought, I don't run. I showed up. I come to the track just for a reason to stay after school. I don't even go to practice half the time. But the coach needed somebody to jump in to run a mile. I said, hey, no problem. I can do this. The first lap, I was keeping up with everybody just fine. And up until the third lap, I was about to die. And then when they got to the fourth lap, they all kicked it in. And they started in a full-out sprint for the last quarter mile. And I was left in the dust, laying on the ground, panting and dying. I feel like I'm just going to kick it into high gear, and I'm going to give it all it's worth. I'm watching my niece, and man, when she got that fourth lap, it was like, phew, she was gone. She almost lapped a couple of people on that last, on just the last lap. I'm going full force, and I'm going to do everything I can. And if God takes me home tomorrow, I'm fine with that. But I'm just going to give everything I have. And I desire more than anything for church, the church, grace, God, loads. God's going to work in my life. Given me a hunger that's greater than life itself. My prayer has been for you folks to join me. I want to give you something tonight that I want to encourage you to get involved with something. As I read and study Christianity throughout history, sometimes hear missionary stories and burdens that they carry, and what it's like to leave America and go to a foreign field and come back 2 years, 4 years later and find out this is not the country we left just a couple of years ago. And go to churches and find out that these churches are not what they were just a couple of years ago. As I read stories like I did in Sunday school this morning with the voices of the martyr of what Christians are going through in our world today, the reality is most of us would be offended. And would God want to tell us today? I hear the words of A.W. Tozer. Some of you might not know who he is. He said this years ago. I just put up on the screen. I looked up the quote found in the keyboard. So I put it up there. He said, after my study of today's church, my conclusion is that the church is politely bored with God. God, we appreciate you, but we're really bored. You think of what the church was like in the New Testament. Think of what book have we been going through? Ephesians, okay? Yeah, sometimes I wonder. And again, I'm putting this on myself, okay? You're not saying that, but think of what a song service would be like in the New Testament church. I've talked about Bible times. They didn't have hymns. They didn't have songs to sing. They didn't have written songs. They said, hey, let's learn this song. This is a song that I found in the Bible, and let's just sing this together. Think of what their services would have been like. The buildings. They didn't have buildings. They had wherever they could. Think of the persecution they faced. They didn't know if they were going to be meeting next week. They didn't know if they would have a pastor next week. He might be in jail. He might be executed by next week. He might have to leave town. He might have to sneak him out of town. Think of getting a letter from the Apostle Paul in one of the churches in Ephesus. I guarantee you that letter came. We'll stay here all night until we read this thing. Let's read it again. we're going to have to send it on to another church tomorrow. We only have it for this day. Let's get as much. Let's see how much of it we can memorize before we go home tonight. We'll give the Word of God today. What they thought of this book. We got a letter from Peter. Oh, this is the second one he wrote. It's no big deal. We've heard, no. Another letter from Peter to the Christians that are scattered about, those that are about to go into severe persecution. One last bit of advice from Peter before he's executed. Wow, we got to take this in. And the excitement. Letter from James. Yeah, we don't like to talk about him. He's too convicting. He kind of makes us feel like a little mess, aren't we? And Luke wrote a book of the life of Christ. He wrote a book of the Acts of the Apostles, of all that Jesus began to do and the exciting things that He's still doing. They live with the reality of persecution, imprisonment, and certain death. What I want us to do tonight, I feel like we're just kind of stuck in a rut. People say that. What's a rut? How do you find a rut? Francis Todd, you ought to know. Your dad always said this. What's a rut? Oh, it's a grave with... It seems like I've heard him say that. What is it? A grave with both ends kicked out. That's all a rut is. We're just stuck. I'm going to say stuck in a box. What are we going to do in that box? Let's, first of all, let's... in fact, I want to read... I've got a couple of scriptures. I was going to go in Ephesians. Let me just at least read this one, Ephesians chapter number 5. And a verse that you ought to have some of this memorized at least, Ephesians chapter number 5. It says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." I want us to not only look up, but be better off if we just jumped out of the box. I'm praying that God would send us a revival, and if we're going to have that, we're going to have to read a bunch of R's written down there. Just notice they're all R's. Revival is going to involve rethinking and reevaluating, renewing, and a whole lot of everything is new. Some of you may have heard some things, and I don't know how close, and I just see it as another thing that's going to pass in a couple of weeks, and I pray it's not, but this revival, so quote-unquote revival in Asbury University in Kentucky, it's a lot of emotionalism, a lot of enthusiasm and entertainment, and medical unitedism, and the truth is, some of us feel so desperate for the fire of God to come down to chase a wildfire. That's what it takes. God to do something. I don't think we're going to chase a wildfire, but what I want us to do tonight is to jump out of the box and let's jump into the Bible. I just want to challenge you. I want to start something that I long for God to do something. And if God's going to do something, we're going to have to get back on the right page and in the right pages of the Bible. We're going to have to give ourselves to the Word of God like never before. And I hope that, folks, I hope you can see my heart, and I hope that you'll say yes. So I'm going to give you something that God just showed me, and I think back of a lot of things in my early Christian life and the anticipation, the excitement that I came to church and service. I was there sometimes a half hour early before the preacher would get up, so I'd get to go. Because I couldn't wait to get there. I long for all of God's people to have a thriving relationship with God. I can remember, this is even before I was saved, and some of my buddies that were going to the church, and you know my testimony, I went off and on to the Baptist church for about 3 years before I trusted Christ as my Savior. And I can remember talking to some of my friends, and what you did is went, oh, we went to church, you wouldn't believe what it was like, and this is what the preacher preached on, and this is what happened in church this Sunday, and it was bubbling over on Monday. How much of our church service experience? We can't wait to share it with somebody. I remember Brother Mark Swanson, so you know him. He was a classmate of mine in school when we were in high school, and he was one of them, and I'd ask, there's a couple other folks that went to church there, and they actually had a bus route that went down to Stillman Valley, and I never rode that bus, but I knew the people that rode on the bus and met them there at church whenever I went there, and I can remember now you're going to laugh at this, but our senior trip, every year seemed to take a trip somewhere. I mean, we were rolling in the dough. We had this all planned out. We were going to go to this place called Great America for our senior trip on a Sunday. And I remember asking Brother Mark, are you going to go on the senior trip? And I remember him saying, oh, I'm not going to go. It's Sunday. It's Sunday. I wouldn't think of going on the senior trip on Sunday. I get to go to church on Sunday. Talking about you there all the time. And I thought, you know, and God was working in my heart at that time about my need for salvation. But I was trying to play religious. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to stay home on the senior trip. Great America back then. And really didn't care for going on these rides that make you sick and throw up and give you a heart attack. And that really wasn't my cup of tea, but I went sometime just because it was the cool thing to do. And I thought, I'm going to stay home and go to church because all my friends are spiritual. And I stayed home and went to the dead liberal church that I grew up in. And the whole time I'm thinking, I could be a great American. Instead, I'm here. And the next day I remember seeing my buddies and they said, you should have been at church yesterday. It was so great. My church was. And I wonder what page you're on. Where are we at? It's the highlight. It's about to be the highlight. Now, I want to give you something. I'm going to suggest something that we're going to do. And God just showed me this. And if you get on page, on the same page with me, I think God can use it in a great way in our lives to get us back to that place. If we're going to be have a revival of the Holy Spirit, we're going to have a revival of the Word of God. If we just kind of come and go in our box, we're comfortable with what we're doing, and we just say, yeah, it's all right, we'll be okay. And let's get outside of the box. Let's jump in the Bible. And I actually, a year or so ago, I couldn't find which one it was. I recommended that you get a Bible handbook. And I had a whole bunch of different Bible handbooks I was thumbing through. I think it's one that I took back in the library. It had a little introduction on how to use this handbook. And I'm going to share some things with you in a little bit. And I thought, there's the answer right there. Why don't we do that as a church? Why don't we study the Bible together? And the truth is, I gave you a memory verse on Sunday morning. And a couple of people, we've been working on it for a month, a couple of people got the memory verse on Sunday morning. I gave you a memory verse on Wednesday night. Oh, yeah, that's right. We had a memory verse. I hope it's one I know because I didn't work on it all week. I give you a memory verse sometimes on Sunday and different ones all the time. And I know what it is. You got one for Sunday morning. You got one for Sunday night. You got one for Sunday school. You got one for Wednesday night. I don't have time for all of them. And all the things that are going on, let's just choose one book. Let's just get it up here. Fingers don't work right now, so I like my finger. There. It'll work, and then it'll work. Let's jump into the Bible together. Now, I'm not going to necessarily... I want to know you're on board with me here, okay? I don't want us just to be performing for the brethren. I'm not talking about reading the Bible just for the sake of reading. I want us to learn to live the Bible and let the Bible live in us. What I want us to do, and I'm going to ask you for your help, well, by the end of the service, by the end of the message tonight, we'll be done in a little bit. I want us to pick one book of the Bible. And we're going to go through that book of the Bible as a church. Maybe a couple of chapters a week. It's not going to include a lot of reading, but it's going to include some studying and searching God. And I believe with all my heart this, if we would follow this, we would get back to where we can go to church. You might get like a preacher and have to get up a couple hours early in the morning on Sunday because you're so excited about going to church. I can't wait to get there because I'm waiting to see what God will do, and I'm waiting to share what God gave me this week. But I want you to, we're going to pick a book of the Bible in a little bit, and we're going to focus on that book, that particular book. And I want you to, whatever you have for personal reference materials at your home, how many have a good study Bible at home? You have a good study Bible at home? Take the time to, whatever part of the Scripture we're reading, read all the notes on that study Bible. If we're going to read a book, in fact, we're going to start in one book, before we even get to that book, when we read the first chapter, read the introductory notes of that book. Or if you have, and this is, I grabbed the one that I got, well, this was printed, this particular edition was printed in 1977. I got it in 1978, so this was brand new when I got it. And when I was a new Christian, someone suggested I get one of these to help me understand the Bible. This is a Bible handbook. This is a miniature commentary. Every book of the Bible, it'll tell you an outline. This is Unger's Bible Handbook. There's a few different good ones. Preferably, if you go back far enough, when this one was first written, they didn't use anything from King James Version Bible. Now they've updated all that, some of the newer ones, so I suggest to try to find an old one if you can. I just opened it to the book of Acts, and it's got some things about the author, the date it was written, the scope and the contents, just a brief summary, outline of the book, and then it goes to chapter 1. It tells you what chapter 1's about. And then you read Acts chapter number 1, and it'll give you some things there to look at and some cross-reference materials to look at and spend some time studying whatever book we come up with. Okay, I'm going to ask for your suggestions. Maybe I'll give you a suggestion which one we're going to start with. And then when we come together on Sunday, in Sunday school, we're going to discuss the general teaching and outline of this week's reading. And the key word is discuss. It's not going to be pastor or the Sunday school teacher up there giving a lesson and then kids are like trying to stay awake and throwing spitwads in airplanes and writing notes to each other or daydreaming or writing their grocery list. And when we get done, we're like, well, what was Sunday school about? I'm not sure, but I'm sure it was good. Pastor told a good joke, so that was good. Well, that's not going to happen. Maybe somebody else told a good joke, and we'll remember that part. Come prepared to discuss. Now, I'm going to have some things for my class, some ideas, some questions to ask to get a discussion going about that particular reading that week. The kids' classes, the teenagers, you can do what we'll have the Sunday school material. I imagine Janelle's probably going to want to keep using the Sunday school material that you're using. That's fine. But Connor, that you could join in Todd and Amy's class or Alex and Bethany's class. You can do this if you want to, or you can use the Sunday school curriculum that we've been using. That's fine. That's up to you. But I think once we get into this, you might want to say, that'd be a good thing to do. And if you're participating in the rest of it, you might say, that'd be a good thing to do in our class, too. So, and then the morning message, whatever passage of Scripture we've been studying all together as a church, we're not coming together. Everybody's got their own doctrine. Everybody's got their own thought. Everybody's got their own, folks come to church with all these different things on their mind, and that's all they're focused on. I've had people convicted over certain sins, and preacher, that's all you ever preach about. And I didn't have to say anything about that sin. They'd done thought about it before they came in. And they were convicted about it whether I said anything about it or not. And some people, all they hear is what they want to hear. It's just, that's our human, that's the way we are. In the morning message, I'm going to have a message, and it'll be a message about Jesus. Doesn't matter where you open the Bible, you ought to always find Jesus in there. And one of the things we've been emphasizing on Monday nights is everywhere in the Bible you see Jesus. In every chapter you see Jesus somewhere. And course, in the Gospels and the New Testament, it's real easy to see him. We'll have a message concerning Jesus and the Gospel out of this week's reading. And you know, this is not something that's completely new, and to me, even my pastor used to, when I got saved, we'd have a Bible reading schedule every Sunday morning. He'd preach from that Bible reading schedule. Usually he would take us through the Bible every year. It took me a few years before I got all the way through the Bible and kept up with him all the time. Sometimes he would preach in a New Testament and an Old Testament reading. He preached from the New Testament reading on Sunday morning and the Old Testament reading on Sunday night. You go through both of them alongside of each other. And to me, it became a game. I'm going to guess what my pastor's going to preach on this week. And I would start writing out my own little outline. I remember one time I had the exact same outline. Didn't have the same word, the same ideas as he did. And I thought, man, look at this, Pastor. We're on the same page here. We're thinking together. And we're in this together. And that was an encouragement to me. I felt like I should win some kind of prize or something. I didn't have a tie then. Seeing if anybody's listening, and I don't know if he was impressed or not, but looking back on it now, he probably was grateful to hear that. And then in the evening, in that same passage of scripture, we're going to have a message of personal application of this week's reading. And then on Wednesday night, again, I want this to be a discussion time. And if we're in this, if we get in the Bible together as a church, you'll be amazed what God will start to do in our lives. This would be a great family project. For your family devotions, hey, we're reading this chapter. You read this little commentary or this little Bible handbook or your study Bible. A lot of folks have. My wife uses a different study Bible than I do. Sometimes we compare notes in the study Bibles of what... She's more spiritual than I am, so she has more things in there and different things that she's reading. It's encouraging to read those things together and to be together on these things. And so Wednesday night will be more of a discussion time. What I want you to do is, if we get in this and we're thinking about it and it's a part of our life, we'll go away from church on Sunday and say, wow, that was cool. I've been studying all week. God's prepared me. God's opened my eyes to something I've not seen before. Rather than just, well, I wonder what he's going to preach tonight. I don't know what he preached last week, but it better be better this week. I want this to be something that we do together as a church so that we can be the church that God wants us to be. A church where the grace of God flows in our life, where God is really doing something in our lives. Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew that we are the light of the world. The city that's on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick and give light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I truly believe that if we let the Word of God get in us, we're not going to hold it in. When we go to work on Monday, we're going to tell people, you know what God told me yesterday? You know what God showed me yesterday? Are you with me tonight? Does that make any sense to you? And I've seen it happen before. And I just think, I can't believe I've not done this before. I can't believe that I used to do something similar to this, but not for every service. I want God's people to get on the same page and in tune with God where we're growing together. I would much rather, rather than marking off your little box, because we've always done, you know, we're supposed to read the Bible from here to there every year, and we got, you know, we have a reading schedule, a little box, we marked it for that. We're supposed to pray for 15 minutes, check, I prayed. I prayed for this person, check, I prayed for that, I prayed for that. And we do our little ditty and our little boxes, and what really happened? God really moved. I would rather take one book of the Bible and dig into it for a couple of months and let God work in my life than to just check off all the boxes. Well, I did this, I did that, and now I'm all set. I'm the spiritual person. I'm supposed to believe that God is in my life. And that's the thing that God's been telling me more than anything. Let's make God real in our life. So, I want to ask you, where would you like to start? when we start reading the Bible, when we talk to a new Christian, we often tell them to start with what two books of the Bible? We even give them away to John and Romans. I don't know if we'd want to start in one of those books, or if we want to start in one of the other Gospels, or where you would want to start. And there's four Gospels. To me, it's interesting. When I study one of the Gospels, I get to study all four of them together and line them up and get a parallel Bible, but that's a lot of extra reading. We won't do all of that now, but it takes us a long time to get through all of this. Pick one of the Gospels. There's a purpose God gave us four Gospels. Each one of them emphasizes something different. Or one of the books of the... and actually, Nathan called me today, and we chatted for a while, and I told him what I'm going to do. I said, I don't know. I'm crazy, and other people I hear, well, I'm crazy. It's outside the box. Just what we're supposed to do. He said, maybe you ought to start. Thanks, Nathan. You're a lot of help. What book did you want to start it? Bob? I got in the habit years ago when that WWJD stuff came out, and thought, you know, we criticize folks for, and by the way, we criticize folks for a lot of things that we started. And the What Would Jesus Do movement, and we say, well, let's go there to read the Bible. Well, why don't we read the Bible? Instead of trying to correct it, why don't we get in the Bible more? And God just convicted me that every month, for a couple of years I did that, back when the WWJD first started, every month I'd read through one of the Gospels. And because I want to know more about Jesus, and I want to see the life that he did according to what the Bible says. One of my favorite Gospels. Last time I went through the Gospels and did a study of all of them together, like I usually like to study them, I fell in love with the Gospel of Mark. Mark is the servant. Jesus is the servant. It's an action. A lot of action in that. Matthew's the Gospel where Jesus is the King of the Jews. What's another suggestion you have? I'll give you mine, but Don? First and Second Timothy. Those are some books that I spend a lot of time in as a pastor. Those are pastoral epistles. Pastors are good for everyone. Desire the office of the bishop, desire the good. All of us ought to desire. And by the way, and this is, you know, in New Testament Christianity, they didn't think of a pastor like we think of today. A pastor might be in prison next week. Somebody's going to have to stand up and preach. If I don't show up, you know, sometimes I kind of joke about this, I'm going to be like a regular church person, just not show up at church Sunday and not tell anybody where I'm at. So no, I'm going to do that sometime. A preacher used to tell me that all the time, a fellow pastor friend. I'm just going to not show up and see what people say. But if, for some reason, I'm not here, things will just continue to go on. That's maybe a bad idea. Timothy, those are good books. Any epistles are good. Any other things? I'll tell you what I'm thinking. James is too convicting. I don't like James. That's too hard. It's too harsh. This guy doesn't have any fun. I do Matthew or James. How about we start with one of the Gospels? I think that'd be a good one to start. Matthew? Is that what you were to say, Cindy? Matthew? Okay, let's do Matthew. So, let me give you a sign. Next week, which chapter of the genealogy? One or two? Chapter one, isn't it? Chapter one has a genealogy then. Let's do this. Let's, for next Sunday, study Matthew 1 and 2. Let's do the first two chapters of Matthew. Okay, there's 28 chapters of Matthew. We'll do two of them the first week. And we'll probably do more than that, but I want you to spend some time on the introductory notes. Learn some of the background of Matthew, who Matthew was, who he wrote this gospel to, when was it written in correspondence to the other writings of the New Testament. And let's just focus on Matthew. So Matthew chapter 1 and 2 for next week. And again, in Sunday school, we'll talk about some things. In my class, that's how I'm going to do it. Connor, you went through Genesis now, right? Or Exodus. You're in Exodus now. I was reading your notes today. And, your classroom looks nice. Your wife must have done. Oh, okay. I thought you were bored because she left town, so you came and cleaned up the mess that I told you about. Since we're Baptists, we got to let junk sit around for 20 years and then we throw it away. So I'm trying to lose that Baptist distinctive, okay? That's the Baptist distinctive. You let things sit around church, you store it for 20 years and then you throw it away. I just throw it away when we're done with it. So, my wife's rubbing off on me. So we're going to do Matthew next week. And Sunday school, I'll find a message. God will give me a message from Matthew 1 and 2. Just take some time to study. Spend some time with your family studying it. And if you don't have study materials at home, there's plenty of them in the library. I think there's a copy of this handbook. There's a copy of a couple other handbooks in there. And one of the handbooks that I read a year or so ago, and I was encouraging you to get one for your home and for your own personal study, had at the beginning, and I can't find it now. I don't know which one it was, but I remember reading in one of the forewords or one of the introductions to the handbook how to use this. The pastor wrote it for his church to do exactly what I'm suggesting we do right here. And for his church to read it before they came to class and the passage of scripture they're going to preach from, and they did pretty much just, and I thought, why did... Yeah, that's a Baptist distinctive. I read something and a year later, duh, why didn't I do that back then? Why don't we just do it right now? So, Father, we pray that you would teach us.